The daily podcast of The Exchange is supported by Doucette Survey, serving your professional land surveying and mapping needs in New England, now with offices in New Hampshire and Maine. More information at doucetsurvey.com. That's doucetsurvey.com.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Just recently, Girl Scouts and leaders from around the country met in Salt Lake City for their triannual national convention. Beyond a chance to socialize, learn, and celebrate, the convention also provides a forum for official business. And one topic under consideration this year was outdoors programming, which many scouts and volunteers have been organizing to address. With changes to scouting programs over the past few years, some have noticed what they call a turn away from the traditional focus on camping. National leadership says there was no intentional cutting out the outdoors and that they're open to providing more support and resources for troops to go outside. As the Girl Scouting community works through this debate, however, questions remain about how much and how quickly scouting should change with the times. Today in The Exchange, Girl Scouts in the 21st century. Let's hear from you. If you have a daughter in Scouts now or participated yourself as a girl, what do you think about how the organization has changed and tried to remain relevant to girls and their needs today? Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Our guests in the studio are Kim Lemire. She's a Girl Scout troop leader in Manchester, with girls in her group ranging from kindergarten through fourth grade. Kim, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Also with us, Tricia Meller. She's CEO of the Girl Scouts of the Green and White Mountains. That's the Girl Scout Council serving New Hampshire and Vermont. And Tricia, thank you also for being here. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you.
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, folks, I was a Girl Scout up until about seventh grade, so I think that would have made me a cadet. Tricia, what's different? What's changed since today's parents were Girl Scouts themselves?
A lot of our focus has shifted to as girls have changed. So we have seen a growth in technology amongst the girls. For many of our parents, they might have had one television in their house. They wouldn't have seen a computer. Girls today are living in a technology world. So we are focusing on what they need and really trying to advance at their speed with virtual programming, more technology-based program, as well as some of our traditional camping activities and, of course, community service.
So if I somehow could go back in time and be a Girl Scout today, what would be different for me at that weekly meeting?
A lot of it would depend on the girls in the group. So your friends would make the difference on what you're choosing to do. In Girl Scouting, we are very much a girl-led organization. So the girls are choosing their activities. So what would change would depend upon the girls you are engaged with. When I was a child, we did do a lot of camping. We did a lot of community service, raking the elderly homes in our neighborhood, going door to door, of course, selling Girl Scout cookies. Those are activities that still happen today, but we also have girls engaged in digital photography, robotics teams, and other activities along those ways. So it's totally dependent on the girls that we serve.
Well, and Kim, we were talking before the show, and you called yourself a Girl Scout for life, and you have two daughters in the Scouts who are in your troop. How have things changed from your own personal experience? How is your daughter's experience different from your own?
I think that we're concentrating a lot more on what the girls want to do. It's definitely a girl-led program. And, you know, I sit down with my girls at, you know, the beginning of the year and throughout the year to make decisions about what activities they want to do, what things they'd like to learn about, and we move forward based on those ideas about I try and then put those with different badges or journey programs to meet their needs while they're still serving our community and enjoying themselves together.
So there's still core values that you have to follow. If your girl said, well, we want to eat cookies and, you know, watch television at our meeting, you would say, no, that's not really what Girl Scouts are all
Absolutely.
About.
I try and steer them in the right direction. But, you know, starting when they're really young in kindergarten, they can start to make some of the decisions. You know, my girls who are in fourth grade and juniors now are making a lot more of their decisions, you know, because they're more capable of that and they've learned over time you know, what works.
So what are the core values, Tricia, that still exist, even though today's girls are obviously very different from girls, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago?
We still have our Girl Scout promise, which guides our values, so that we are going to do our best to serve God and our country and to help other people at all times. We also are bound by our Girl Scout law to help other people, to take care of our environment, to be a sister to every Girl Scout. So those values have not changed. Some of the language has slightly changed as our vocabulary has changed through the years, but the core values of Girl Scouting and building girls of courage, confidence, and character, that has always remained consistent for 102 years.
That's interesting. So how has the language changed? Because sometimes it seems like a small change, but it becomes a big deal.
I remember being at a national convention 6 years ago, and we spent 2 hours debating where a comma should be in our law. So some of the language has changed regarding some of our environmental terminology. Those were not there back many years ago, so we focus on the world at large.
Well, I did notice, spending a fair bit of time on the website yesterday, and I did notice a heavy environmental emphasis, and I definitely want to talk to both of you about that in just a minute. But one of the other things that I think has changed, and I'd love your thoughts, Kim, is that it just seems like there's a lot more out there for girls these days, a lot of competition for their time and attention. Here in Concord, we've got Girls Inc., we've got Girls on the Run, we've got, you know, sports programs of all kinds for girls. Those weren't really there 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Absolutely. There are a lot of options for girls. And I'd say that some of the girls in my troop only take advantage of Girl Scouting, but others have different activities on different nights. I do have one girl who I anticipate will be starting with me soon, who hasn't been with me yet this fall because of soccer. But once soccer season is over, she'll join. I know a lot of the older troops, as they get up into middle school and high school, have even more demands on their time. And I think those troops become more flexible with meeting times and, you know, deciding together, maybe meeting less often. My troop meets weekly, but I think as they get older, it's easier to meet on, you know, a bi-monthly or monthly basis, depending on what the other activities of the girls require.
This has been an issue, Tricia. I know people at the national level have mentioned this, that as membership declines in Girl Scouts, partly it's because there's just a lot of other opportunities for girls these days.
There are definitely.
And that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. For an organization which serves girls, we're very pleased to know that there are many options for girls today. But one of the things that Girl Scouting celebrates is the fact that we create well-rounded girls, girls who learn how to cooperate with others. In Girl Scouting, girls are really leading and making the decisions themselves, whereas we do find many times girls are in environments where they're focusing on one activity and someone else is leading the way. So we really pride ourselves on girls being able to choose from a wide variety of activities.
Let's take some phone calls and get some comments in from our listeners. The phone number here in The Exchange, 1-800-892-6477. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at Girl Scouts in the 21st century, some of the program changes, some of the competition for girls' time and attention these days. 1-800-892-6477. If you have a daughter in the Scouts or you were a Girl Scout yourself, give us your thoughts on how the organization has evolved, tried to stay relevant to girls in the 21st century. Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's take a call from Betty in Meredith. Hi, Betty. Go ahead. You're on The Exchange.
Well, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I, as I'm listening to this conversation, I'm just learning more that a good troop has a lot to do with a good leader. And you're only as good as your leader, who is consistently there year after year and grooms you to be this, you know, instrument to the community. And I wondered over the years that just some of my contemporaries have just said it's the logistics to being a leader and to getting these girls back to camping, all the paperwork involved. And I was wondering if how that has changed, you know, getting the good leaders, because it's harder and harder to get through some of the red tape just to get the kids out into the community and out back into the wilderness.
And Betty, do you have personal experience with this?
Only my daughter, I have three. Only one of them did it. And it was not a great experience. It wasn't a bad experience, but because there's so many other choices, we weren't doing the things again, it's what I learned is that you've got a great leader, you get a great troop.
Yeah, well, you raised two good points, Betty, so thank you for calling. And first of all, to you, Kim, I've heard this from other people, too. Your troop, your experience is only as good as your leader.
That is true.
And you're all volunteers. You're not getting paid to
absolutely.
Do this.
Absolutely. We are volunteers, and, you know, we do look for other volunteers and hope that we'll get good people to work with us. We do rely a lot on our parents to provide, you know, some of what we need in getting out. I have a couple of great parents in my troop who are willing to go camping with us and have good experience, and that makes a huge difference for me. In addition to being a leader, I'm also part of the community team in Manchester that helps recruit and train new leaders and support them as they start their journey. And each community has a group of people and also counsel to help new leaders and support them and teach them. But there is some discomfort of some people with doing certain things. Sometimes that's going outdoors. And then there's also leaders who have been at it a long time who aren't as comfortable with technology. And I think you just need to reach out to your resources, be it in your community or at council, to support you. But it does matter what your leader is. And if the troop your daughter's in isn't the right one for you, there are other opportunities. There are other troops out there.
You can actually, even though you're supposed to sort of be in the troop in your neighborhood, you could switch to another troop if that seemed a better
fit. In Manchester, we have multiple troops at each age level. So there are different opportunities. And you can also step up and offer help to the leader in a certain area if that's not a comfort level to her.
I definitely want to talk about the outdoors issue in just a moment, because we've got someone at the national level who's been looking at that issue. But to the issue of, you know, finding good leaders, we talked, Tricia, about a lot of time and a lot of competition for girls' time and attention. The grown-ups, too, right? I mean, everybody feels like they have so much to do. It must be hard to find good people to do this.
Finding good leaders is our number one issue. Truthfully, we have girls every year waiting on waiting lists to be placed in a troop.
Really?
And we cannot find enough leaders to serve those girls. And so that's very heartbreaking to us in the organization, that we know girls want to be part of this, but it is difficult to find the leaders.
All right. Well, Betty, thank you very much for calling in. And we will follow up, Betty, on the outdoors issue that you mentioned in just a moment. We've got someone who is a longtime volunteer who's been talking about this issue nationally. So more of that in just a moment. This is The Exchange on NHPR. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at the Girl Scouts in the 21st century, trying to stay relevant and engaging after more than 100 years. Let's hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. We have two local leaders in studio. Kim Lemire, she's a troop leader in Manchester, and Tricia Meller. She's CEO of the Girl Scouts of the Green and White Mountains. Joining us now on the phone is Marty Wellfell. She's a longtime volunteer with the Girl Scouts of Kentuckiana and a leader in a grassroots movement to keep camping and outdoor leadership as part of the Girl Scout experience. And Marty, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Why do you think it's so important, Marty, for girls to have outdoor adventures like camping?
I think outdoor adventures today are more important for girls than they ever have been. And so one of the things I would say is that I don't look at this as a, quote, back to tradition type of movement. I look at this as a forward to providing what of girls of today really, really need. And that is in addition to all the opportunities that Kim and Tricia have talked about, we need girls to have some unplugged time out in nature. There are countless studies that are indicating how very important this is for our young people today. And Girl Scouting used to provide a lot of that in its official national program portfolio, and now there's really very little of it. We are working to try to get more official program back that is outdoor oriented and toward outdoor skills than currently exists.
Well, I definitely want to ask you about that in just a minute, Marty. But you talked about the importance of, you know, girls being unplugged, spending time in nature. We've done programs on what some people call nature deficit disorder and so forth.
Exactly.
If a girl, though, Marty, is playing soccer or softball, if she's riding her bike around the neighborhood, you know, she's getting fresh air and exercise. What's the difference between that and going camping with the Scouts?
Well, it's not just going camping. It's the type of experience that you have. When you are playing soccer or you're biking around with your friends, so often, yes, that is outdoors. You're getting fresh air. You're getting good physical exercise. But it's not what I will call quiet time in a natural environment where you are being awed by the beauty of the world around you. You're busy playing soccer. You're watching for the cars while you're biking. And I'm assuming right now biking in a city. If you're biking outside, that would be some of the types of activities that we're looking to get back.
So it isn't just
like
being outside.
Tripping, in other words.
Yeah. It's not just fresh air and exercise. It's sort of rest for the brain, or putting the brain on a different path.
And not only that, but then there are the whole a set of skills. If you're playing soccer, you have a skill set. Okay? If you are going to go backpacking, you have to have a skill set in order to do that. And what the Girl Scouts' own research has shown is that girls like to learn those types of skills. They call it hard fun when they do outdoor skills such as canoeing and kayaking and camping and swimming and those sorts of things, that they get enjoyment from that builds their self-esteem. There's so many good effects. And that's what we're after getting back in our program.
Well, and there was this big national convention just a couple weeks ago in Utah. And I know this was a big issue for you there, Marty. So what happened at the convention in terms of you and others saying, look, I'm concerned about this de-emphasis on outdoors and camping? What happened?
Well, let me just say real briefly that I was not a delegate at the national convention, although I was there. Quite some time ago, our group started working to get an outdoor discussion on the agenda for the National Council session. I'm just going to say that's a good deal of work to get that there. Some councils had to send that forward, and a number of councils did. And as a result, our national board decided to have a program discussion on the outdoors as part of the convention. And that occurred. Since they decided to do that, they released an outdoor study that's very supportive of our cause. The Girl Scouts National Organization promised a number of things immediately, including right now girls are voting on three different areas. I think it's outdoor recreation, outdoor environment, one other I forget. Sorry, but they are voting on three different badge areas, and then after the favorite of those is chosen, then they will vote on an actual badge topic. And so the national organization has promised us already four new outdoor skills badges of some sort.
Here's my question, Marty,
yes.
And I want to bring our other guests in as well with you. I wonder, sort of a chicken and egg question for you. I mean, which came first? Was it the national leadership de-emphasizing this on their own decision? Or was it hearing from parents and girls in the 21st century saying, you know, we're just not that interested? I mean, which came first?
Well, it's hard to say. I know that the national organization did some research. They did some research of non-Girl Scouts that indicated that non-Girl Scouts were not all that interested in the outdoors. Everything that Tricia and Kim have been saying about, you know, our modern girls having all the choices is very, very true. I think what they didn't do is look at outdoors as a retention tool for the Girl Scouts of that time. And again, their recent study shows that the girls who spend time outside are more likely to stay in Girl Scouts and more likely to invite their friends in Girl Scouts. And that's the element that I think perhaps they missed, I'll say 8 or 10 years ago, when they started developing the program that is based on a wonderful book that came out that's called Transforming Leadership. When the organization really decided to focus on leadership skills, I think they missed how important outdoors can be in developing leadership skills for a certain segment of girls.
Well, Mar, let me bring our other guests into this,
okay.
And then I'd love to hear what you have to say as well. Kim, again, you're a troop leader in Manchester. How much do you get out with your girls? I mean, you're dealing with the little ones, so I don't know if you want to take kindergartners camping or not.
I've actually camped with kindergartners every year for
you're
the
a brave
last
soul.
5 years. So my girls camp at least once a year. And we also get outside in other ways, be it community activities, walking in the parades locally. We've been out letterboxing and earning our hiking badge. And
it's a little easier in New
Hampshire,
isn't it?
Yes, we do a lot of community activity where we're out getting cleaning up at parks and that kind of thing. So my girls definitely do get outside. Part of that is the comfort of their leaders and what the girls are interested in. You know, I know my girls love camping, and if I didn't make that part of their year, that would be a big disappointment to them.
What do you think, Tricia, this chicken and egg question that I asked Marty, you know, is it the girls who aren't interested? Is it the leadership that's not interested? Is it the parents who are uncomfortable? You know, they're too nervous to let their girls get out in the woods?
We have certainly seen a large difference in parents through the years. Parents nowadays do tend to want to know much more about where their daughters are going. We have parents who would like to see more pictures of their girls when they're at camp. They'd like there to be daily reports of their girls' activities while they're at camp. So we're seeing a demand on our end from our customers, being our parents, to know more, to not unplug their children. We have a
policy. I see. So you want the daughters to unplug,
but the
parents are like, no, we want to get a text and make sure she's okay.
Correct. So we have a struggle with that on our end because we have no cell phones at our properties. We have no electronics when our camps are in session. We do feel that there are certain times when girls should be plugged in. But for our resident or day camps, we want them unplugged. But the parents want them plugged in. The parents are demanding far greater access to their children.
Oversight.
Yes. And so that makes it very difficult. So a lot of leaders are concerned with liability issues. If they were to take a girl outside and she were to fall on a trail over a route, where's the personal liability for the leader? And that is something that we as a council have to deal with in training, ensuring them that we have insurance to help protect them from liability issues. But the world has changed greatly in the past 20 years, and people are far more concerned with their own personal liability and are very concerned with the reactions of the public to what they might be doing.
Well, it's interesting. In our caller earlier, Betty mentioned, you know, paperwork and requirements, and here you are raising liability. And so back to you, Marty Wellfell. The Girl Scout Research Institute, I think you mentioned this, put out a study on what girls want, finds that they really do like getting outside and camping. Here's the first sentence, though, from that study, Marty. It says, while Girl Scouts has a long history of getting girls outdoors, parental protectiveness, along with increased use of technology, a host of structured activities competing for children's time, have led girls to spending less time outside. What role do parents play in this? Are they too worried to let their girls go camping? Maybe it's not the Girl Scout Council, it's the girls and their parents themselves.
I would certainly agree to everything that Tricia said. I'm an outdoor trainer, and so I deal with it on the front lines of that issue. I also work for my own area association. That's a group of volunteers. We put on a volunteer-led day camp for over 200 girls, including kindergartners. Anyway, so I have a good deal of experience in working with the parents, and I completely agree that there is a whole new level of parental involvement in their children's lives. I don't think that's always as good for the kids as the parents think it is, but I'm not going there. That's a whole different discussion. But what I would say is that you can work, a good, smart group of people can work to start enticing parents, especially the parental troop leaders, because, of course, most of our troop leaders are moms, to be completely honest, with some dads thrown in here and there, and then a few people who don't have kids. What you need to do is teach them that it is not impossible to do. And in our neck of the woods, one of the things that we do is my local group of volunteers, we sponsor what we call a camperee. And people can bring their troops out. And of course, when you bring your troop camping, usually there's quite a few parents who come with you because you have to have certain numbers of adults to girls as part of
the right ratio.
Requirements,
yeah.
The right ratios. That's correct. And so we say, you know, you can come out for a morning, you can come out for a day, you can come out overnight. You do not need to have training to bring your group here, because we have planned that at every place where training is required, we have trained volunteers there.
Right. So you don't have to figure out how to set up the tent yourself.
You don't have to figure out how to do any of that stuff. Plus, you can bite off as much as you think you can stand to chew.
Well, Marty, let me just jump back in for a second, because I've got a lot of listeners who want to jump in on this. And here's a Facebook comment from Lenore, who says, I was a Girl Scout until sixth grade. I love that I learned some basic skills, from sewing to cooking to creating a fire and camping outdoors. Lenore says, I can't imagine not having camping in nature be part of Girl Scouts anymore. At a time when childhood obesity is skyrocketing, electronic gadgets rule our kids, Girl Scouts is a great way to keep our children in touch with nature. Lenore, thanks for the Facebook comment. And let's go to the phones. And Shayla is calling from Concord. Hi, Shayla. Go ahead. You're on the Exchange.
Hi. I wanted to call in. I'm a Girl Scout right now, and I definitely believe outdoors is very important, but I also believe, like, getting out in society and being a part of the community is just as important. And in the future, I hope to be part of politics and be part of the government. And I see, like, different programs with Girl Scouting definitely has helped me branch out into that kind of field also.
Shayla, if I could ask, how old are you?
I'm 16.
You're 16. And so getting out in society, you want to engage in community and politics. Girl Scouts has helped you with that. Have you gone camping with the Scouts, Shayla? It sounds like that's not really your first priority with the Scouts.
No, I mean, I've gone camping, and I think it's a great thing. But I also think with the modern age, we need to be able to, like, branch out and not just concentrate on camping, and more concentrate on the different aspects of the community.
Okay. Well, Shayla, thank you for calling in. It's good to hear from a current Scout. And Marty Wellfeld, back to you, and then we'll let you go.
Okay. You know, everything that Shayla just said is true, and nothing about our movement is saying go back and only have outdoors. What we think is a very important choice is missing right now in the official national program portfolio, and we're trying to get back a lot of outdoor skills badges. We think that with the right kind of support, that we can get the parents who are frightened to let their kids outside to ease up a little bit and begin to realize that that's something that is good for their kids. And perhaps the way to do that is to let them accompany their kids some of the time. And so all I've got to say is I'm very confident from the National Convention is that we are going to move back to having outdoors as an important choice among all the other choices that we have. Girl Scouting has always been girl-led if it's been done well, and our girls are saying they want to go back outdoors.
All right, Marty, great to have you. Thank you very much for being generous with your time this morning.
You're welcome.
That's Marty Wellfeld. She's a longtime volunteer with the Girl Scouts of Kentuckiana and a leader in a grassroots movement to keep camping and outdoor leadership a big part of the Girl Scout experience. Again, the number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook, like Lenore did. Send us a tweet. And let's go back to the phones, Kim and Tricia. And Rebecca's calling from Milford. Hi, Rebecca. You're on the Exchange. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
I am a longtime Girl Scout in New Hampshire, and then took my time and was a Girl Scout leader in New York City. And while I had a lot of exposure doing outdoor events in New Hampshire, when I went to New York City, the girls, our idea of an outdoor event was to walk to the subway. And so I think that's one of the problems that the Girl Scouts is having, is that you're trying to be a Girl Scout nationally. Every little area has such a different experience that you're trying to encourage at kids. On the other hand, there is nothing better than teaching a girl a skill that they thought was completely offhand to them. If you teach a nine-year-old how to light a match and then build a fire, their world will just explode. It's incredible.
Hopefully they won't explode anything at the same time, right?
Exactly.
So you're saying, you can't just say one size fits all. That seems to be what I'm getting from you, Rebecca.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you think, Kim?
You know, we are lucky to live in New Hampshire, where we have outdoors really accessible to us. And I know that
they're struggling in other areas of the United States, especially in big cities like New York City, with being able to get their girls outside. You know, there are opportunities, and you just have to kind of, you know, it's a little more work, I think, for those in a big city to get their girls out to nature, but I think it still can be done.
I think I read an article about a longtime Girl Scout camp on Long Island closing down, and that was sad for the girls in New York and New Jersey because you're right, they don't live as close to the outdoors, to open forests and so forth. What do you know, Tricia, about camps being sold, closing down? Maybe not here in New Hampshire, but around the country.
We actually have closed camps in New Hampshire.
Ah.
So it is a national issue that is going on right now. Many of our Girl Scout councils merged several years ago. And as a result of the mergers, we found that we had far more properties than we needed to serve the girls in the jurisdiction because they were practically on top of each other. So we in the Green and White Mountains have engaged in a long-range property plan and are focusing on those camps that we know we can develop and put in the programming needs that the girls would like. And the camps that do not serve those needs or that are farther away from the bulk of our population, we have chosen to divest. So we have the adequate resources to move into our remaining properties.
Because the narrative that you see is, oh, Girl Scouts on the decline, not enough girls doing it, those that aren't interested, Girl Scouts selling off camps as a result. You're saying that's not really the story.
Correct. We have found that our girls are asking for high adventure programming and high adventure courses. Well, those all cost funds and we don't have the resources to put them at multiple sites. So our goal in our council is to build one really preeminent camp that has everything that the girls want there and it will draw them in versus having a little bit here, a little bit there. And we are working on that. And that is happening across the country. Councils are choosing to find one or two locations that they can really build up to meet the needs of the girls today with what they want because the choices are quite expensive to install.
All right. We will take more of your phone calls. I've got an email here I want to share with both of you after a short break. Again, the number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Back in a moment. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow in The Exchange, we'll wrap up our election coverage, who won, who lost, and what happens next. And of course, we'll be on the air tonight starting at 7 with election coverage wall-to-wall here on NHPR. Today, we're talking about the Girl Scouts and their efforts to remain relevant for girls in the 21st century. You can join us with your thoughts, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Here's an email from Nancy in Deerfield. She says, this summer, three leaders and I planned and executed a Camp Skills weekend for 80 girls in our community. Wow. We taught girls from kindergarten to high school how to build fires, cook outdoors, use jackknives, age appropriately, use compasses, etc. Then on Sunday, the girls competed as troops with these new skills. Nancy says it was a huge success. The girls and leaders loved it. Nancy says, also this past March, I winter camped for the first time in my life. I was certified with 20 other leaders to take the girls winter camping or backcountry camping. The opportunities are there. Nancy, thank you for that email. And let's go back to our callers, both of you. Liz is joining us from New York. Hi, Liz. Go ahead. You're on The Exchange.
Hi. Thank you. I'm the director of Camp Little Notch. It was a former Girl Scout camp that was closed as the action of the merging of councils. And our alumni fully formed with Girl Scouts, former Girl Scouts, former camp leaders, and I'm a lifetime Girl Scout myself, formed a nonprofit organization, and we have partnered with Open Space Institute to save the camp. And we actually have run a successful summer camp for the past 3 years, and we still find girls are desperate for the outdoor unplugged experience.
So when you say you, and this is interesting because the Girl Scouts have talked about forming partnerships with other outdoors groups, with equipment providers, you know, some of the backpacking and outdoor gear providers. But when you were able to reopen this camp in your new partnership, is it still a Girl Scout camp or is it now something different?
It is not a Girl Scout camp. We are a nonprofit organization. We are funded solely through organizations that want to support girls programming and through private donations. And we're still in the process of fundraising. We need to raise $1 million to continue purchasing land, and we have a very short time to do that. But we have so much community support and so much need. And, yes, even with Girl Scouts, we have Girl Scout troops that come to our camp. We have they do private group rentals to come and spend time at our camp.
Okay. Well, Liz, thank you very much for calling. And what about partnerships, Tricia? I've read about this, that, okay, if we can't afford to keep certain camps open, let's partner with a private company to help keep it open.
We have worked at partnerships more for enlarging the opportunities for girls. So within the Northeast, we've actually been meeting with all of the Girl Scout councils to open up the camps that other councils own to our own members, which is a big step in Girl Scouting to not see our jurisdictional boundaries. But we have spoken with the AMC to get girls outdoors. We have girls who go to many of the AMC huts. We have the girls go to many of the Y camps or to Boys and Girls Club camps. In our state, we're so lucky to have both the state parks and the national parks right in our backyard. Many girls choose to camp there because it's closer to them. So for our purposes, any partnership is a good partnership, providing that our mission and our promise can be followed.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Liz. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Let's go to Shelby in Dover. Hi, Shelby. Go ahead.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
I was a Girl Scout when I grew up, so this is really interesting to me. But I had a question because I know that there's been a lot of controversy with the Boy Scouts regarding inclusion of the LGBTQ community. And I was wondering what the Girl Scouts' opinion or how they dealt with that.
You know, it's a good question, Shelby. And I do remember all the controversy. Tricia, you're an official with the Girl Scouts. What is there an official policy about lesbian and gay Girl Scout leaders, Scouts themselves?
We have had a non-discrimination policy since the early 70s. So as soon as this issue really hit the federal government's attention, Girl Scouting adopted a non-discriminatory policy. So we have been welcoming. What we have set is policies indicating what behavior is unacceptable. So for us, any sort of certain behavior in front of girls or dedication to girls, spoken to girls, would be inappropriate. There are discussions best left to families and for families to choose to discuss with their girls. And so we are definitely a non-discriminatory organization. And that is probably the biggest difference between Girl Scouting and Boy Scouting, other than the genders we serve.
So since the 70s,
yes,
you've had that policy. All right. Well, Shelby, I hope that answers it for you. You know, I did want to get back just very briefly to our conversation about getting good leaders. Somebody mentioned that there are a few dads, I think it was Marty Wellfell, a few dads scattered here and there. Kim, what do you think? Given the difficulty in finding good leaders, can dads be Girl Scout leaders? How frequently do you see them? I mean, I just wonder about
Absolutely. That. Absolutely. We do have male leaders in the community as well as parental volunteers. I'd say out of approximately 20 troops in Manchester, I believe we have 4 that have a male co-leader. And we do have, you know, people across the council that do have men stepping up. And I think it's great for girls to see the support from their dads or men in general, as well as women, and have them step up for girls being important and girls being the future of our country in leadership roles.
All right. Well, and I know from Cub Scouts, there's certainly a lot of den moms, so why not troop dads?
Absolutely.
I guess that's what you call them. Can you tell I don't have daughters? But all right. Well, I want to read an email here from Chrissy, who is a volunteer with a troop here in New Hampshire. She says, why should we go back to more traditional outdoor programming instead of forward with more STEM programming? Why is it more important that girls learn to build fires than build robots? Chrissy says, when the science fields show an obvious lack of women, when girls can only name one female scientist, Marie Curie, why is changing that not our focus? She says, when the world is advancing so quickly, why are we not pushing for more technology and engineering badges? Chrissy says, traditions change, they evolve. How can girls move forward by going backwards? While confidence in her aim with a bow may be a great thing, I'd rather she feel confident in her ability to take charge and make the world a better place for generations to come. Chrissy, lots to think about, and I'm sorry that Marty isn't still with us, but I'd love to hear from both of you on this. First to you, Kim. You know, there is an emphasis on STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math today, especially for girls.
I think that one doesn't outweigh the other. I think these are both important aspects of potential programming for the girls, and I think that you don't have to do one or the other. You can do both. You can also do a lot of STEM activities outdoors. So it goes back to what your girls are interested in and providing that for them. So
but if they say, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but if they say, you know, look, Kim, we're really just not interested in going outdoors. We'd rather sharpen our math skills or whatever. I mean, does that mean you don't take them outdoors?
I'm not going to force girls who aren't interested to go camping. I still think there's ways to get them outside. You know, you don't want them forever inside the building, but you easily could do some of those STEM activities in the outdoors. But it is girl-led. So if the girls don't want to, as a group, go camping, I'm not going to take them camping.
Yeah, that would be a pretty miserable
Absolutely.
Experience.
Absolutely.
Do you want to jump in, Tricia?
Certainly. One of the things we find is math skills, for example. You can learn or enhance your math skills as a girl by also doing geocaching or building something, building your own teepee in the outdoors or building a geodesic dome. So there are many creative ways that we can get girls involved, both in the outdoors as well as with the STEM or the STEAM fields, if we'd like to include arts in those programs. We are committed to ensuring that girls have every opportunity available to them. And so we definitely have robotics programs, and in some cases, those robotics teams are operating out of doors. We had a great program with the Sea Science Center where we partnered with them. Our national CEO is one of the top 10 women recognized in the science fields for girls in this country. So it is a key component of what we do as an organization.
Well, it's interesting, and this idea of, again, girl-led, and if a girl isn't interested in getting outdoors, you know, or camping, maybe we won't force her. Here's the question, though, and I'll throw it to both of you. Maybe you first, Tricia. You know, sometimes, I mean, they're girls, they're kids. Sometimes kids don't, I hate to say it, they don't know what's good for them. I mean, they say, oh, I don't want to go camping, you know. But maybe it's good for them to get outside, given all the research that we have about nature and so forth. Or maybe, and this would have been me, you know, I wasn't really interested in science, technology, engineering, and math when I was a girl, but maybe it would have been good for me to be pushed a little bit. So I'm just wondering, how far do you take this girl-led thing?
Definitely. Part of our leader training that we engage in is actually to push the girls and to let them know about the opportunities out there. And our Girl Scout badges are a key way that girls get to experiment with new things. In order to earn their advancements, they do need to experiment with a wide variety of badges. Our journey programming materials are really about expanding a girl's horizons and testing something she might not feel comfortable with. So we definitely train our leaders to push the envelope a bit with the girls as well as with their parents. And we put on about 250 programs that we offer as a council that also supplement what the troop leaders are doing. So we have our paid staff developing programs which supplement what a troop does and provide many opportunities for girls. A large number of those are outdoors, but others are then focusing really on the STEM fields.
That our emailer Chrissy mentions. And Chrissy, thank you again. What do you think about this, Kim? Again, you're on the ground with your troop. Sometimes girls say, I don't want to do this, but it's good for them.
I do think you can ease a few things in to or try different things, and encouraging them to try different things, you know, incorporate things that they maybe haven't tried before in with items they have tried. So, you know, if they don't think they like camping, maybe have some sort of outdoor activity where they might try some sort of outdoor cooking, might then go, oh, maybe I would like to try camping. Maybe I would like to try more than this. So I think giving them different opportunities to try things they might not have an opportunity to do otherwise can be a good thing for them.
Well, and I was looking around the website yesterday, and this relates to Chrissy's point, you know, why not more emphasis on science, technology, engineering, and math? given the deficits among females that we hear about. And it did seem like there was a lot of emphasis on this, to the point, Tricia, where it almost felt like school. I mean, there's programs on clean air and the multimedia world, and not that these aren't great topics for girls to know about, but this is a criticism that has come up, that the program today is so focused on knowledge and not enough on just, you know, fun and outdoors and socializing. What do you think? I mean, there's even a link to how the Girl Scout content ties in with Common Core standards. You know, I saw that and I thought, my goodness, give these poor girls a break from school. Have you become too achievement focused, too academically oriented?
That is a criticism that we have heard. And one of the reasons why we tie our curriculum to the Common Core standards is to ensure that schools across the country will still allow us to meet there.
I see.
So we do a lot of programming with our schools. We partner with our schools. In some cases, we took 10 girls recently to Utah, and they missed an entire week of school in order to participate in a national leadership programming. So that is why you see the Common Core curriculum there. Our donors also want to see that connection. I have not had a Girl Scout troop for approximately 30 years. I was a Girl Scout leader at one point in my life, but I think much of it is still fun. We had girls come trick-or-treating in our office on Thursday night, and I asked every girl who came through my office for birthday cake, it was Juliet Lowe's birthday, what they liked
the
most about Girl Scouting. Yes, and it was over and over, the fun, the friends, and their camping. And Marty mentioned they do camporees. Every one of our communities runs a camporee every year. So the girls really see it as fun. The adults, I think, tie it to schoolwork far more than most of the girls do.
All right. Let's take another call. This is Ann in Hanover. Hi, Ann. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I was just curious because our daughter went to – well, I was a Girl Scout leader at one point, too, but our daughter – we lived overseas, and our daughter was a Girl Scout all the way from the time she was a brownie till we moved somewhere where there was no Girl Scout troop, and she still wanted to do it. So she was told to join Troop 1000, which was set up apparently just for children who there was no troop for. And I was wondering if that still exists or whether it only existed overseas.
Okay, Ann, thanks for the call. And Tricia, that's for you.
And we do not have a Troop 1000 in our jurisdiction. One of the things that we have been doing here in New Hampshire and Vermont is virtual programming for our girls. So we actually serve girls and join them together via the internet and through virtual troops right now so that they have friends, they have weekly meetings, but it's all done online. And we are one of only three councils in the country who are doing this. So we're very proud of our efforts. And we have girls who join us from California, Texas, and Colorado to meet with our girls here in New Hampshire and Vermont virtually so that they're still part of a troop regardless of how far away they live.
And thanks for the story. And let's go to Annika in Raymond. Hi, Annika. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm a fifth-generation Girl Scout. And I like being in Girl Scouts because I like that it gives me a lot of chances to go outdoors. It gives me a lot of chances to hike. We do badge work. We did, a long time ago, we did a what were the best parks to go to list. And
Annika, how old are you?
I am I am a brownie, and I am 7.
All right. Annika, you get the last word in our program today. Thank you so much for calling in. It's great to hear from you.
Okay. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
All right, well, we couldn't close it out better than that, could we, folks? So I think I'll just say, Tricia, thank you so much for being here. It was nice to meet you.
Thank you, Laura. It's been fun.
Tricia Meller, CEO of the Girl Scouts of the Green and White Mountains, the Girl Scout Council serving New Hampshire and Vermont. And Kim Lemire, good luck with that group of girls. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Kim Lemire, she's a Girl Scout troop leader in Manchester with girls from kindergarten through fourth grade. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. The senior producer is Ellen Grimm. Our producer is Faith Meixel. Our intern is Joanna Albertson-Grove. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord, and I'm Laura Kanoy.